I know that I kid a lot with Alan, but this is no joke that we certainly missed you and Susan, particularly Susan. But but we're glad you're home, at least temporarily, and we certainly will be praying for you and for the kids that all may go well. It's good to see Virgie here today. I'm glad that she's able to be here with us and several others as well. We're thankful for your presence today and hope that if you're visiting with us that you'll come back very soon. Thought it would be appropriate to talk about what is love with Valentine's Day coming up, if you men did not realize Valentine's Day is coming up. So that might be a little reminder. I know that Nancy was wearing her sweater with the hearts all over it. I guess she wanted to remind you, Bill, that Valentine's Day is coming. I want to tell you in advance, I realize that I've preached this sermon here before, but you probably have forgotten it just like I almost had. So one more time probably won't hurt. In just one day, what can you hear people say they love? They love their pet, love their car, love their house, love their clothes, love the food that they eat, the spouse that they have, the children, friends, and on the list goes. Since the word love is used in such a variety of ways, maybe we should ask the question, what is love? That is the question that was asked to a group of children from 4 to 8 years old, and here are some of their very cute responses. Love is when your puppy licks your face after you left him alone all day. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Oh, that's probably the best one. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Love is that first feeling you feel before all the bad stuff gets in the way. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. That was pretty perceptive. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redford. And love is when when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Yeah, I like this one too. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well. When you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared they won't love you anymore, but then you get surprised because not only do they still love you, they love you even more. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. People forget. God could have said magic words to make the nails fall off the cross, but he didn't. That's love. So what can we learn about love from God? I think the first verse that probably comes to your mind is God is love. This does not say that God loves, although it is readily apparent that he does. It says that God is love. His very being epitomizes love. If we know God, then we also know love. Because we're told that love comes from God. 1 John 4 and verse 7. And we cannot claim to be of God unless we are also filled with love. In 1 John chapter 4, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Love is not just to be felt or spoken. It is to be demonstrated by action. Action that will draw the giver and the receiver closer to God. Love is not selfish, but it is sacrificial. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You know, love can be one-sided. But love is intended to be reciprocal. God has already demonstrated his love for us. But he also expects us to return love to him and then take it a step farther to demonstrate our love to our fellow man. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 27, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Yes, godly love is more than emotional or passionate love. It is a commandment by God. You cannot command emotions. So the love that God talks about is something more than emotion. It is a commitment. In John chapter 13, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He also pointed out, Paul pointed out in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." This is that sacrificial love that I was talking about. And husbands are commanded to love their wives, and wives are to love their husbands. And when we do that, then certainly our families and our world is going to be a better place. We have too few people who are truly loving one another, and we need to change that. We are even commanded to love our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" So, what have we learned about divine love? Well, because God is love, his children must learn to love even as he loves. That love is not an empty word, but a sacrificial action. And although Love is meant to come full circle. We should take the initiative in demonstrating our love to all people, even if our love is not reciprocal. This is a rather lengthy story that I'm going to share with you, but it's been one of my favorites over the years. There was a man who was a cab driver in a big city. He approached his work more as a ministry than as a job. And his cab became a traveling confessional. Passengers climbed in, sat behind him in total anonymity, and told him about their lives. When he was recalling his most memorable passengers, he remembered picking up an elderly woman late one night. He drove to a small brick fourplex in a quiet part of town. And he arrived at 2:30 a.m. and did not know who he was supposed to pick up. There was a single light on the ground floor. And for some reason, instead of honking, he went to the door. And he heard the voice of a frail, elderly woman. A small woman in her 80s opened the door. He heard that voice, saw this woman, and noticed that she was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned to it. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. It was a very plain house, and she had covered all of the furniture with sheets. The man took her suitcase to the cab and then went back to assist her. And she thanked him for his kindness. And he said, "Oh, it's nothing. I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." When they were in the cab, she gave him an address. But then she asked, "Could you drive through downtown?" The driver said to her, "Well, downtown is out of the way." And she said that she didn't mind. She said, "I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to hospice. I don't have any family left. The doctor says I don't have very long." The driver reached over and shut off the meter. And for 2 hours, they drove through the city. She showed him the building where she once worked as an elevator operator. They drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband lived when they were newlyweds. They went to several places where she just sat, staring into the darkness and saying nothing. When the sun began to rise, she said, "I'm tired. Let's go now." And they drove in silence to the address she had given to the cab driver. It looked something like a convalescent home with a driveway passing under a portico. And two orderlies hurried out and helped her into a wheelchair and took her suitcase. The woman asked the driver, "How much do I owe you?" And he said she didn't owe him anything. He bent over and gave her a hug, and she held on to him tightly. She said, "You gave an old woman a little moment of joy. Thank you." He squeezed her hand, and they wheeled her in, and the door shut. It was a sound of a closing of a life. He didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. He could hardly talk all day. He couldn't help but wonder, what if she had gotten an angry driver or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if he had refused to take the run or had honked one time and then driven away? We are conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments. But great moments often catch us unaware. Beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. People may not always remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel when you showed them kindness and love. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Our Lord laid down his life for you and for me. And he calls on us to lay down our lives for others. If there is anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we hope and pray that you will do that while we stand and sing.